Hello, everybody. I'm Sam, and I'm very happy to be here on this community conference, AzureConf. And I'll be talking about hybrid connections today. So hybrid connections in Azure. I'm Sam. I'm CDO at Codeit. I'm from Belgium. And I'm actually an integration MVP. So that means I do everything except front-end. So I do back-end integration, distributed computing, things like that. You can follow me on Twitter, Sam Van Houten. So also, any questions you have, either during the talk or after the talk, just shoot them at me. And we blog constantly on our blog, which is blog.codeit.eu. The agenda of today for my talk is really on the different things that you can do with Azure around hybrid connectivity. So I'll position a lot of different technologies, and then I'll dive into the one specific for this talk, which is BizTalk Hybrid Connections. I'll do quite some time on demos, showing how to move an existing on-prem application to the cloud. And then, of course, I'll dive into some details, some deep dive around architecture. In the end, I'll do more positioning on when should you use which technology. One of the things that I'll also be using is API management and mobile services, so something that you might have seen in the keynote this morning by Josh Twist. As I said, any questions, AzureConf, just put them on Twitter. If they are good questions, they will pop up on my screen and I'll try to answer them during my talk. But hopefully everything will be covered during my presentation, okay? So what we see is that there's a lot of, enterprises, a lot of companies who have their corporate network with all their existing applications, servers, and so on. They have this network, they have invested in data centers. So what we see is that a lot of companies are still willing to keep a lot of data on premises. But they get the point, the added value of going to the cloud. And of course, a lot of them are buying into Azure, which is a wonderful thing. And what we see there is that, there's a lot of different options to start building things in the cloud and to combine them and to connect them with your on-premises situation. One of the things is the virtual networking. So that's more of a traditional approach to connect these things. And you also have more application platform as a service capabilities like Service Bus and also this hybrid connections. So I'll be diving into those, but it's important to understand that a lot of companies are just moving data to the cloud. They start buying new applications, like they go for a software as a service approach, think about vertical specific solutions. Often they are offered in the cloud. And if there's need for communication, maybe you have a CRM system, CRM online, and you still have your on-prem SAP, you might need to have data synchronized between one and the others. So that's a lot of things where you have need for hybrid connectivity, and that's what I'll be talking about. So the first probably most known one to do hybrid connectivity is the virtual networking. So that's connecting your system in a virtual network between Azure and on-prem. There's different options. Scott talked about them. So you have the point-to-site, which is more on a, one person dialing in. You have the site-to-site, which is very common, where you have your on-prem router connected in a VPN gateway or the RRS. And you have express route for the more, dedicated connections you have. I won't be talking about this because Vishwas at the end of this conference has a very nice presentation on everything around networking and so on. Another one is service bus messaging. And I've been using this for quite a while also in our integration platform. So service bus messaging is mostly the asynchronous and distributed interoperable messaging. So where you have data coming from one client to the other. And what you have is queues and topics. So where you have a lot of asynchronous communication message-based. You have event hubs. So event hubs is a very new technology that was released mostly in the concept of IoT and device communication. And then you have the notification hubs for phone. I would definitely encourage you to watch the session of Rick Garraby this afternoon, because he will be talking about IoT and the concept of service-assisted communication, and you will see a lot of things around service-based messaging there. So definitely looking forward to that one. The other one, and that's one that I will use in my demo, is Service Bus Relay. So Service Bus Relay is really about firewall-friendly service messaging and service publishing. So you only have outbound ports, so there's no need to open inbound ports. And you can just expose an internal service, typically a web service, to the cloud. And that means you have a a public DNS address that people can reach out to, you can secure it and so on. And then it gets forwarded in a firewall-friendly way to your on-premises system. As I said, it's mostly around web services in this case. So WCF is very important in that one. What's good with service bus really is that you have load balancing. So your services implementation can be worldwide. We often use this in situations where we have a service in different data centers. They are reachable through the same DNS name, the same DNS address. People can call them, and then it's load balancing. So it's very easy to have failover capabilities and things like that. So I'll be using that in my demo later on. The other one is BizTalk Services. So BizTalk Services is probably the one that's less known, because what we see is BizTalk has a very dedicated and a very niche community. It's used in a lot of larger enterprises, and to be honest, we use it for quite a long time, since 2000, to be honest. And what you have EAI capabilities, so that means enterprise application integration. It's connecting your cloud-based messages, your cloud-based endpoints, to your on-prem applications like SAP, Oracle, Siebel, and SQL, of course. You can do a lot of transformations. You can have flat file support and do complex routing. But I'm not going to dive into those details. The same goes for the EDI capabilities. So it's trading partner management, where you connect systems and partners with each other. Think about invoices and so on that you want to connect with each other. What I'll be talking about mostly is about the new feature that is still in preview in BizTalk Services, and that's hybrid connections. The good thing is it's in the free tier, so I'll be talking about that later on. The goal of BizTalk Services and of hybrid connections, and I'll wait for the question first of Mac, what's the best approach for redundant lines, full tunnel in a site-to-site configuration? So how do you handle a full site-to-site configuration? To be honest, as I said, this is not a session about IaaS. It's also not my specialty. What I encourage you to do is put that question to Vishwash. You can take it offline and answer it offline to you. And Vishwash can already prepare that question for later today. The goals of hybrid connections is really about accessing on-premises data without writing any custom code, any custom agents, just very easily being able to connect to your on-prem data. They also say that there should not be any changes in the network configuration and network parameters. So they want to keep things as simple as possible and as, let's say, untouched as possible. Still, they want to provide control and visibility, and that's important. People need to know and need to see what's going on. They need to see, who is opening an outbound endpoint and things like that. And it's all about agility and flexibility, but you will definitely see that in my demos. It's really quick to have your data suddenly reachable from the cloud. As I said, it's part of BizTalk Services. So BizTalk Services has these different components. The good thing is it's in a free tier. So you can use hybrid connections in a free tier. A lot of people were talking about, do we need to learn BizTalk suddenly? If you just need to hybrid connections, no. You just need to learn the hybrid connections part and being able to create a BizTalk service. And that's really as easy as a, let's say, three-click step. For this point, you can use hybrid connections, so you can connect your websites and your mobile services with your on-prem data. So that's the two cases that are supported. But the goal is to have more and more things coming. I don't have any idea on timeline and on concrete plans, but I would be happy if it would be available in cloud services, in API management, in BizTalk services itself. And you might think of other things where you want to connect from the cloud to your on-prem using this approach. Now, diving into the BizTalk services part, the pricing model of BizTalk services is a tier-based model where you have the free tier, which is in preview. You have the developer, the basic, the standard, and the premium tiers. As I said, you have different capabilities in BizTalk. The traditional BizTalk workloads like EAI and EDI, you have them in every tier except the free one, right? The main reason for that is that all the capabilities of EAI and EDI, actually under the hoods, you have your dedicated virtual machines. I mean, you don't have access to them, but you create a new unit, which is a scale unit, and that scale unit is one set of machines that gets created for you. So that is not needed for your on-prem, for your free version, because they only support hybrid connections. So you don't have support for the other things. You have some limits for hybrid connections. So you can use 5 connections per unit. And as I said, you don't have units to scale for your free tier. So if you only need 5 connections, you get it for free. If you need more, you can upgrade the tier of your BizTalk thing to scale out. There's also a limit on data transfer, which is a 5 gigabyte limit. But as it's not that you have to upgrade the tiers if you go over that limit. No, you can very easily just have an extra charge at $1 per gigabyte for now. So that's the BizTalk services pricing model. So hybrid connections, the only thing you need to do is being able to create a new BizTalk service. And let's show you how you can do that. I'm switching to the old portal, which is, to be honest, not so old, and a portal that I still like, because BizTalk services has not been moved to the preview portal. So what you have to do to create a new BizTalk service, it's pretty easy. You just click the new BizTalk, your new app service BizTalk. You can do a restore if you have done a backup, but you can then of course do a custom create. You give it a name, so let's call it hybrid or Azure Conf, and you can see that, and it's probably Josh who stole this DNS thing. So let's do it Azure Conf Sam. Then you can specify the tier, so the edition. It will be a free one, which is still in preview, and of course your region. Let's go to the East US here, and you click OK. It takes for the free tier a few seconds till minutes in order to get it created. If you have another tier like the one that I have here in my account, which is a developer tier, you can have more features, like you can scale, except for developer, but you would be easily it would be easy to scale out the units. You have monitoring and things like that. But as you can see, this is a tab that is new, and again, the preview is mentioned there. So you can create new settings here. So let's create this, delete this existing hybrid connection, because I won't use that one. So it's as easy as that. And later on, I'll be showing you how we can use those hybrid connections. Now, the key features, it's all about making the on-prem resources available to your websites and mobile services. What you can do, you can use TCP and HTTP, and it works with most of the frameworks, because actually it's transparent for the runtime. You just connect on network level. So if you're using JavaScript or .NET or Java, it doesn't matter. You can just use existing features as if you would connect to your service that is, you know, residing on premises. What's also important is that you don't need to change the network parameter. So you don't need to have a VPN gateway. You don't need to have extensive network knowledge. You don't need any firewall changes in most of the cases. I'll be coming back on which ports you should have open. But the most important thing is that you don't need to have incoming traffic. So applications, they can only access the resource that you specify for that hybrid connection. So if I create a website, and I specify that that website has access to a specific SQL server on a specific port, which is mostly 1433, well, it can only access that entity. And that's not always the case with the VPN. If you have a full VPN, it's on a network level. So you need to work into your firewall there. What you also have is that you can have IT still controlling the resources. And I'll be coming back on that one later on. Now, let's see how the, let's say, hybrid connections are set up. So as I said, you have your on-prem network where you have one or more resources. In this case, we have SQL Server. That's one that I will be using in my demo. But I'm also exposing a network service that is, you know, a web service. And I've done some tests even at home where I have my home automation system. It just talks TCP. And I'm able to connect over hybrid connections. So I have a website where I can start and stop and open curtains and things like that. And it just connects with my on-prem home automation system over TCP. But I didn't include that one in my demo because, you know, I don't want to show what's going on at home for now, because you never know. To be able to connect from your website, from your mobile service to your on-prem network, you need to create a hybrid connection. So a hybrid connection is a combination of a host name. You can just use the host name. It doesn't have to be the fully qualified one. And a port. So you can specify SQL Server 1433. And on-premises, you have to do an installation. So in the network, you have to install a hybrid connection manager. It's like an agent. It's a Windows service. I'm coming back on that one later. And that service has to be installed on a server that has access to the resources you expose. And that server has to have access outbound to the right ports and the right services of Windows Azure, Microsoft Azure. Sorry for that. So what you will see is that a website will connect through a hybrid connection and the hybrid connection manager to the right SQL server. And the mobile services can do the same thing for other resources. So it's very straightforward to set it up. And what I will be doing is show you this demo here. The first thing is it's an as-is situation where we have a BizTalk server process. And I'm not diving into the resources, into the details of BizTalk server here. But it's just a resource process that receives expenses over JSON. It's a REST-enabled endpoint. It receives the resources and it puts it into a SQL database. So what you see is that you have on the left a BizTalk server and on the right another server in the same virtual network, which is a SQL server. On top of BizTalk, I have the integration dashboard. That's an application that we built to get visibility in the processes of BizTalk. And I'll first show you what's going on and how it works, but then I'll be showing how we move these things to the cloud. So how we'll enable and expose all the services we have to the cloud so that we can reuse all these things from anywhere in the world and not just from in our internal network. So switching back to the, to my virtual machine here. So this is the machine where I have my endpoint enabled, and I'm using the same tool that Michael was using. So as you can see, I have an endpoint, localhost expense API. That endpoint is just exposing a REST endpoint where you can submit JSON to. So I'll be submitting expenses. In this case, it's an expense from a taxi that I took from the airport to the hotel. I'll be posting that one. And I'm expecting to get back, from BizTalk a 200 status that says you have submitted the endpoint. What I'm also expecting here is that the data that I just submitted, that specific expense, arrives into my other database. So enchilada, and I was inspired a little bit by the Mexican meal that I had when I created these services. So enchilada is the BizTalk server, the one that I'm connected with, and I have the tortilla, which is just another server that hosts SQL. So that has a table with the hybrid expenses, and if I just select the data from there, I'm seeing that I have just created a taxi to the hotel from a local service. And if you look at the time, because you don't want that I'm cheating, it's 19:17, so my time is still in the UK time zone. And you can see that everything worked. What I also have is this application. So that's the application that we used for the dashboard to see all the expenses that go through BizTalk or all the other processes there. And I should be able to click here on the Messages tab. I can click for the hybrid demo, and I can see all the expenses that have been processed by BizTalk. You can see, and the resolution is a little bit small, but we can see that the taxi was imported, and we can see that there's some other, historical expenses that were, exchanged. We can see that it's mostly about drinks and dinners, but I mean, we really work here as well in Microsoft. That's so far for the existing as-is situation. The first thing I want to do is bringing this application, the application that we are looking on, that application should be brought to the cloud so that anyone who has access on the security can get that application. So how do we do that? I will just lift and shift the dashboard application without touching anything in the code. So I'm connecting to the on-prem web service, and that's all I will do. So the application actually exists of two layers. Both of them were on-prem in my demo. It's a backend, which is just a SOAP-based web service, and I have a frontend, which is the application that you saw, the single page application. What I will do is I will move that application to the cloud, to Azure websites. And from Azure websites, I'll be able to use hybrid connections. So I'll open a connection to my on-prem web service, the backend there, and I should be able to connect straight from there. So that's the thing I will be doing here. And let me show you how that works. The first thing I want to explain is that whenever we connect from, you know, when you log on with your user, it's to a multi-tenant database. So you get your credentials using ASP.NET membership providers or you know, Active Directory, and then we connect to an on-prem to a SQL. You know, a Windows Azure database, and that Azure database contains all the environments, all the tenants actually, where the dashboard should be connecting to. So for example, we have this table here, the environments table, and if I execute, you can see that that there's at this moment one tenant, a tenant that has a backend, and let's zoom in a bit so that you can see the endpoint that we're using. Yep, sorry for that. So here we have the local endpoint. So as soon as we log on to the Azure website, our user is linked with an environment, a tenant, and that environment is reachable through this URI. So this is an on-prem web service on my existing server. And that's the link that I'll be making, okay? What you can see, what you can see is that I just have a connection string to that database, which is in Azure. So this is my server there. And I'll be publishing my website to the cloud. So I right click here. I can do a publish just from Visual Studio. I'll be able, and actually I already pre-created a website in Azure. And let's be a little bit patient. I can already show you the website in Azure. So it's the Kodi dashboard website where you have a lot of settings. And I will be publishing to this specific website. I hope that my computer, or at least my virtual machine, is capable of doing so. So we publish. The website will be, you know, in a matter of seconds, depending on, you know, the speed of the network and the computer. So it will be published to Azure websites, and anyone who has access can now already go to that website, which is located here. So if you go there, you will have to log on the website with the credentials. Of course, I'm not sharing any credentials with you for now. I have some credentials. I'll be connecting to that SQL-based, to that Azure-based SQL server, where I'll be linked with my settings. You can see I'm still logged on. So what I have now, I have my cloud-based Azure website. And if I click here, you can see it connects, and I'm expecting an error here. So my cloud-based website is now actually trying to connect to my Enchilada backend service. And that doesn't work, of course. I mean, there's no link at all. And if you can look at the logging, so we use the Elma logging here, I should be able to see, clicking refresh, I should be able to see that my website wasn't able to connect to that website, to that web service. And that's what we can see. There was no endpoint listening, so to fix that, or to arrange that, what we will do is we will create an Azure hybrid connection. For websites, I will use the new portal. So in my website that I selected, the only thing I have to do is browse in the dashboard to the hybrid connections. And actually, I pinned it already to my start menu, but let's just go the traditional way. In that hybrid connections, you can see at this point I don't have any, so I will just create a new hybrid connection. And that opens a new blade. I will be creating a new one. That brings me a little bit deeper in the website. So I'll be connecting to Enchilada over the web service. So you can see I just specify my name here. And I can also specify the host name. So you see it's not a fully qualified name. It doesn't have to be domain joined, not anything there. You can just use an IP address too if you want. And then of course I have to specify the port. So my web service is in the standard, the default website. So that's just on port 80. And I click OK. So what I have done now, I have created that new hybrid connection, and that connection is automatically linked with the site because I'm in the context of my website. I can get the success there, so that's fine. But what you can see that there's still some warning that it's actually not connected yet. So to connect, what I have to do, if you think back about the architectural slide, I have to install the on-premises agent. So clicking here, I can then say, okay, I want to install the listener. The listener itself can be downloaded and configured. You can see it just starts, you know, this click once type of application. I'm a little bit patient here. It does take more than a minute to install everything. And it will prompt me for, as you can see here, for a connection string. So that connection string, and I'm coming back on that one in the slides that follow. That connection string, I can just copy it from here. If I enter it, the installer can continue, and on the spot, a new hybrid connection has been created. That's something that sometimes happens, but everything should work fine. If we're then again, be patient and wait for a few seconds. I never had it that it takes more than a minute. You will see that my website will be refreshed and I have an on-prem connection from my agent. In the meantime, I can already show you what is installed. So this is the location where everything gets installed. It's the hybrid connection manager. If you have a look, there's an exe.config file. And I have to right click if my mouse wants. All right. Let's just drag and drop this exe file. And you can see that there's one endpoint automatically added, the one that I just specified. I can add multiple endpoints, but I'm coming back on that one later. But this is the full key that you have on-prem. It's something you need to be careful with. This file contains all your SaaS signatures for that. In the meantime, I can see that my application is connected. So what I should be able to do now, if I go back to my messages, I should be able to have a look from my Azure-based application to the on-prem database. And as you can see, I already have my hybrid connections. I can select my expense reports. And now just from the cloud, a query happens. And I can see that I have all these settings, including the one that I just created, the taxi to the hotel at 17 p.m. was, of course, UK time. So, as easy as that, I didn't change anything. I was able to move my website to the cloud, keep my data locally, because in a business scenario that can be required. And of course, nothing had to be changed there. So that was step one. My dashboard is in the cloud. The next thing I want to do, I want to build something new. I see that there's a lot of value with it. So what I want to do, I want to create a new application, a mobile application. So this mobile application, of course, Azure provides a lot of things for that, including mobile services. So you might have seen this morning with the demo of Josh that he was creating a mobile service. Well, actually, that's what I will be doing too. So I will create an expense mobile service that you can then use to build any type of mobile application. In this case, it's just a universal app for Windows that I built because I want things to work, of course. And that app will connect through the mobile services backend, which is on Azure in the cloud. And from there, there will be a secure connection using hybrid connections again to the agent that is on the other on the Enchilada database, Enchilada server, and from there we will connect to the SQL database. So I will just do a query from the mobile services to the on-prem SQL one. So that's important to get the scenario here. So what you do for that? Well, again, you go to the portal, and in this case, I'll be going to the old portal for the mobile services. You can just create a new service here. Let's call it Azure Conf service. You can specify an existing database. You specify the region, much like you have with all these services. And then you create the backend, or you specify the backend has to be JS or .NET. You get a warning because I created in Europe the database and so on, but should be okay. I hope I still remember my password. So now it takes a bit, and probably the database was incorrect, so no issue here. I have my existing service, which is hybrid expenses, and from there we can start. So what I can do here, and actually that's literally what I did. This is the first time that I built a mobile service, and really the first time that I built a universal application, because as I said, I'm really not the type of guy to have, you know, front-end based development. I'm always on the back end. But this was pretty easy to get started, in my opinion. So what you can do, you can just click new phone application or Windows application. I can specify I want to have it in C sharp or in JavaScript. Traditional guy here, so I go for C sharp. And you get the download. So you just get a download application that just, you know, contains some projects. And actually, I have that open on my local machine. So that's why I have to switch back to my local machine. This is the application that I just downloaded, and I didn't change anything here. So what you see, you have a universal application. It's a Windows and a Windows phone with a shared you know, type of library. And then you have your mobile services, which is just something that is very similar to a website that you can publish. It has an API, it has some table controllers, a lot of nice things there. So what you can do, and I didn't change anything so far in this one, you can just start, and you will see that automatically the mobile service is running locally. So I can start developing and testing against this thing locally. It uses SQL backend, a database. In this case, it's just LocalDB. And the application that we downloaded is all about to-dos. So it's not the most exciting application to use, but it's a good one to get a picture. So what I can do, I can just start a new application. Debug and start. And this is the code that automatically, you know, runs. I can create a new to-do item, and on the right I should be seeing my new things coming up. For example, to do finish this session in time. Let's save this one. And you can see it automatically gets there. If I would, you know, shut down my application, start it up, or I would open this application on another computer, you will see that I have the same data shared. Because it's a mobile service, everything is there. Of course, I didn't want to build a to-do application. I wanted to build an expense approval application. So let's shut this one down. And let's go to the, let's say, finished solution that I built, which is here. As you can see, I have the same concepts. So I have a Windows and a Windows phone with a shared application. And what we have here, so by default, as I said, during debug mode, you connect to the local host. And that's easy to debug and to do, you know, attach and so on. But of course, if you want to deploy to your real mobile service in Azure, you can specify the DNS name from your service. And you specify, oops, and I didn't mean to show the full password here, but you can specify the password that you will use to connect to that endpoint. Okay, there's quite some other things the main page, so the, in the shared model, a lot of things where you can, you know, insert new expenses, you can refresh them and so on. Not diving into the details, this is not a mobile applications tutorial, but it's just to get the picture. So I have deployed this mobile service, as you could see in my application, in my Azure portal, I mean. So this service is live, you can connect to it, and actually that's something that I can do. And you can also start and debug from there. And then I can just run my local application. And what we should see is that my local application will not work because I want to connect to the SQL database, and that SQL database is locally. So it will take some time and I will get an exception. I won't wait for it because there's the timeout of SQL typically you have. So what I will show, and that's the service that you have up and running. What I will show is that the connections, and they are in the configuration settings here. And again, I'm not by no means a mobile services or universal application guru, but it felt very, you know, natural to start working on this one. So I have an expense connection string, and if you look at the connection string there, you can see that the data source is Tortilla. So that's my SQL server on premises that I'll be able to connect to. You can also see that the user ID is, you know, a SQL logon with a password that is luckily not shown here. As you can see, I can just add a hybrid connection, okay? I cannot create a new hybrid connection from here, so I have to create it specifically in BizTalk Services first. So let's go to BizTalk Services. And if you click refresh, we should get the exception here. So in BizTalk Services, and that's what I opened here. So let's wait for BizTalk Services, you know, the plugin of BizTalk Services to load, and there we will be able to create a new hybrid connection. Yep. So in my tier, Sam van Houten, I will connect to the hybrid connections, and you should be able to see the existing one, the one that is used by my website to connect to the on-prem thing there. You should be able to see it here. But let's just create a new one, which is the SQL-based one. And SQL by default is using this TCP port 1433. Clicking OK, and hopefully the application or the hybrid connection will be created. That's what we see here. If we then click on the connections here, we can see all the application connection strings, so the shared access signatures. Let's copy the on-premises one. It's copied to my clipboard. And what I'll be doing, I'll be switching to PowerShell just to show that you can add things through PowerShell or through the console or through the wizard. And what I'll do is I'll just say add hybrid connection. And the only thing I need to specify, that's pretty easy, is this connection string here. The one that I just copied from, you know, the portal. No worries, I'll just remember to roll and to enroll new secret keys after the session because of course they are visible now. If I run, you can see that, and it's blistering fast, this one, because my subscription was cached. So I have the new connection created for Tortilla SQL. Switching back to the portal, and as you can see, we have the exception because we didn't have the hybrid connection yet. So switching to the portal here shows that there's one instance connected. So the one instance, that's the agent, the PowerShell that I just created, automatically connected my agent to you know, this hybrid connection. What I need to do now, switch to mobile services and add that connection in the configuration settings. You can see that there's the button here, add hybrid connection, and I'll be able to select my existing one. So remember, this doesn't cost me anything at all so far, the hybrid connection. I can just select Sam van Houten Tortilla SQL. And what I can see now that I created the previous connection, the one for my website. I created it in the other BizTalk service, the one that I created manually in the beginning of this demo. So that explains why I couldn't see it, but that shouldn't matter. Creating this new one and clicking save will, you know, immediately create that connection and allow me to connect from the website to my on-prem expenses. So let's just click back and go to the universal application, run it again. It connects to the cloud-based service, and hopefully we will see the expense that we submitted in the beginning as soon as we click the refresh button. That's what I'm expecting to see. As I said, sometimes it takes a while to make the link between the mobile services and the hybrid connection. Let's do a refresh, because it happened to me that the connection was not stored safely. Ah, there we have it. So probably the first connection took a little bit too long, or I'm not patient enough. So what we can see, we have this expense. I can approve or I can deny, and let's say okay, let's approve this expense. My database is now getting updated, and to show that it's real, what I will do, I will create a new expense. Let's just submit this one. So this is another expense that should be, you know, visible. As you can see, we have the OK back, and if you click the refresh button, we should see a new expense. Ah, and it's one from Mike Morton, who did a nice session just before. But I don't think we want to, you know, to approve or to allow expenses on Batman shoes. So sorry, Mike, I have to do a no for this one. Okay. Now, what I have shown here, switching back, I have shown that I could create a new mobile application using mobile services. That application is reachable from any, you know, true, sorry, I have exposed my on-prem database, the SQL one, to the mobile service so that any mobile application, either on iOS, Android, whatever, is capable to connect to that database in a secure way. That's what I did in this second step. The last step is one that I really like, and that's the only remaining part that I want to make public here for my on-prem on-prem application, and that's this API on BizTalk. Actually, I want to expose it to the public in a managed way. So you saw that in the demo of Josh this morning, that API management is a nice set of, you know, features that you have for API management. And I'm using Service Bus Relay in this case to make my on-prem service publicly available. So what I'll do for that, it's very straightforward. Switching to my virtual machine here. What I'll do, this is my endpoint. So this is the WCF configuration. And I'll create a new endpoint by uncommenting this one. And you can see I'm creating a public address. So hybridexpenses.servicebus.windows.net. I'm not going to dive into the details of ServiceBus yet, but it's just to get a picture. So this is a public DNS address that people can call to. It has a contract defined by my on-prem service. You can, you know, talk with it, as long as you have the secret key there. So I'm using the web HTTP binding, but I added a relay because it's service bus binding. So it's not just locally, the one that I had, the web binding. No, I'd make it publicly now by using relay services. What's important to understand is that this machine in this Microsoft network only has outbound access. So I didn't open any internal firewall ports. People can just connect from the outside to this one in a firewall-friendly manner. What I will do, I will try to call the API on this address here using the same tool, which is the relay here. I have another expense waiting to be submitted. And we don't have the service hosted. I might have to start or recycle the application pool so that the application itself will initiate and will register itself on the DNS of service bus. So let's give it another spin or another try. This one takes a little bit longer, which is promising. And we get a 200 OK expense submitted. So now what I did, instead of calling to my local URI here, the one on localhost, I now connected to the public DNS name. So people who have access can connect there easily. I will connect this one, or copy this one, and now I want to make that public API. I want to know who is contacting. I want to get some policies on that one. So for that, I will switch to API management. So API management is one of the other components that you have with Azure. And I have to, you start to recognize all the symbols if you work with it long enough. So I have already an existing instance of API management for me, because it takes a while to create it. You also have your dedicated machines underneath. And I can easily just manage it. And that opens a specific portal, the API management portal. And I can just say, okay, add a new API. So let's register the existing API. Let's give it a name, which is hybrid expenses. I copy the URI here. So that's the base URI of my backend service, in this case on on-premises. And I give it a suffix, and you can see that it will be added here. So the suffix is just maybe Azure Conf. Why not? Clicking Save will bring me to the details of that application. And I can specify and add operations. I will just create a new operation. I know that I have to post something to this. So Azure Conf expense. And if you post to that type of the API URL, we have to forward it to the on-prem service. So on-prem, I have my service.svc after the base URI. Let's say create expense. I can specify the body. Let's copy one here. Another expense as a representation. So this is actually, I'm documenting how my API would look like. Application JSON. With this one, clicking Save. So my API is now configured. One of the nice things that also I wanted to include API management here is this one. We can already see that the product teams are thinking about different hybrid connections from API management to your service. Because you can see you have directly, you can use VPN, ExpressRoute, or hybrid. But as soon as you click one, I would like hybrid, you get like a warning to say it's not available yet. But at least you can get an idea on what they are thinking about, and there might be plans. So you can contact the people if you have scenarios. I mean, it's a very responsive product team, to be honest. So just clicking Save makes this API registered to make it available to subscribers. So I can have multiple subscribers on my API management tenant. I have to create a product or add it to a new product. So let's just say this is the expense API product. Clicking Save here. And I have to do two things. I have to add my API. And that's the expense, hybrid expenses. And I have to publish it. So now, anyone who has access to this API can start using it. So to do that, I will go to the, because this was the administration portal, I will now switch to the developer portal. And the developer portal, that's the URI here. This is where anyone who has access, can register itself as a developer for my APIs, I can make APIs publicly. I can say that I have to, you know, approve you to get access to my APIs and so on. Now I'm logged on as the administrator, so it's pretty easy to go to APIs here, hybrid expenses. And the nice thing that Josh also showed was the, you know, the console-based thing. So I can just copy this one here, which is a nice sample. And I can simulate the API. So just copying the JSON request, doing a post, will hopefully return. And you can you should see that things are spinning. No services hosted at the address. So there has to be an issue. If I would like to, I can dive into these details, which is a URI that shows me all the JSON steps. So again, it's probably the IIS thing. Let's recycle it. And my API is now publicly exposed. The next thing I will do, I will add a policy to this API, because now anyone can call it. Maybe I want to restrict things. So for that, I go back to my administration portal. Here I have the policies. And in this policies tab, I will just, you know, select the API, hybrid expenses. And I can say, OK, add a policy. And on the inbound, so on the request side, anyone who requests, I can add things. I can say authenticate with basic client certificates. There's a lot of things here, and a lot of things will be added over time. I will just do the restrict caller based on the IP address. So I will allow anyone who is in this IP address or in a range of IP addresses. That's what you can do here. So let's just allow the IP address that I'm using. And that's normally on the background info, but because of the resolution that was changed. So let's just type it. I luckily written it down. So this is my public IP address of this machine. And only this machine now has access to this API. That's what I do here. It's saved, and immediately I can retry. And I should get, instead of the previous one, I should get an exception saying that it's forbidden. Because I'm now calling it from my Azure-based portal, and that's not this URI, so I'm blocked. What I will do, I just copy the request here, the URL, and I will now use it to create that expense from here. And now this is locally. This is from this machine. I will try to call. So let's do a send, and hopefully that registration is gone, but I have a 404, which is not good. So something was specified not correctly in my API. Let's go back here. The hybrid expenses. So this is the service bus API on Relay, and that's the good one. Now I have to switch to the operations, where I have the, you know, create expense. And there I say, you have to rewrite it to the, it's not service.svc, but it's expense.svc. So that should be better now. And that's how you see that it's a live demo. Trying to call again on the hybrid expense one. Oh no, because I have the 403. Let's do the send from my local system here. And now through the API management, I'm getting back a submitted one. So you can see that my my call was working. It's going through API management. If I want, but time is limited, I can monitor anything there. So that's you know, pretty easy to do. And I have now an end-to-end demo where I just submitted a new application to a public managed API. That API is sending the data from the cloud to my on-prem BizTalk server, who inserts it into the SQL. I have my application here that can just do a refresh, and I can get all the expenses that I can approve or deny. And I have my dashboard. So let's do the approvals. And I have my dashboard application that is probably somewhere still in my open tabs, where I can find all the messages that were submitted. So now everything is publicly in the cloud while my data still is on-prem. And I didn't have to change anything at all in my code or whatsoever. I just did configuration-based changes. Time is running out, so I'm happy to walk you through the architectural concepts. First of all, the hybrid connection manager, that's the service running on your network. You can install it manually or through the portal. It's a Windows service, and you have to open outbound ports. So that's very easy. Actually, you only need port 80. And of course, you need to be able to reach the services of Azure. So please don't block outbound IP addresses, because the IP address ranges often change from the Azure services. To get better performance, it's good to have the other ports on the right there open. But if they are not open, it will fall back to the default ports of 443 or 80. There are some limits, like you cannot have dynamic, passive FTP and things like that. There's no traffic inspection, so it's really end-to-end transport level security if you want. For SQL Server, you have some specifics. So you have to use static ports. It has to be over TCP. SQL Always On has some limitations. And of course, you cannot use integrated security. That's something that I didn't talk about yet. But in my connection strings, you could see that my security was using SQL security and not integrated, because I'm in a total different security context. I talked about the shared access signatures, the one that you can copy. There's two types, so you can roll them. The one that you only need to use is actually the one for the on-premises connector. The other ones are hidden and used by the websites and so on. So you can just copy them from the cloud. What's very nice is that you can reuse connections. So if you open a connection for a website to your on-prem line of business application, like the SQL, well, you can use that same connection from another service, another website or another mobile service. That's the one you can get to see here. What's also possible is that you can add multiple agents. So you can add a new agent easily just to have load balancing. So if you would have multiple on-prem services all using their different connection manager, but you can easily fall back, you can easily have load balancing. So there's load balancing on these things. If one agent would be shut down, you know, the load will be balanced over the remaining ones. So that's a very nice concept. And that brings me, and that's an example here. So where you have two instances connected for the tortilla, and you know, one instance for the other ones. I will skip this demo because I could just create on the other server a new agent and you would see the previous result. On throughput, well, you actually depend on the throughput of your local network performance. So the performance of your outbound connection from your on-prem resource, that's really defining the throughput requirements or performance characteristics. You can add multiple agents. So you can add multiple agents on several machines, because that will increase the throughput in most of the cases. What's important to know is that there's no throttling. So the agent is not doing any throttling, throttling to the on-prem network. So if you would have an application that is not capable of handling a lot of load, and in the cloud you would have something that's very successful, maybe the mobile application that you build is becoming very successful, and everyone is connecting over that one connection to your on-prem SQL, well, that's something that is, something you have to build for. You have to think about the fact that everything is coming through that one connection. What's also important is that the BizTalk tier itself, if you run in free standard enterprise, it doesn't impact the performance of hybrid connections specifically, because you don't have any throughput units, you don't have any things specifically defined there. You can just have more connections in parallel, but the performance itself will not be improved by that. Just some DevOps, things you can do there, where you can easily have PowerShell, as I showed, so you can update, add, remove connections, some other things to get details on that. There's event logs, things like that available, and with group policy, IT pros can specify and log things. To finish, I have a comparison between the three technologies that are very similar. You have virtual networking, which is more of an IT pro approach, where you can connect on service level or on network level. You have service bus relay, which is the other approach, where you have the cloud-based connectivity. And in the middle, you have hybrid connections, in my opinion. So hybrid connections has a lot of things in common with virtual networking, like the addressing. If you want to address something on-prem, you talk to it either on IP address or on the host name. I talk to my SQL Server using the SQL Server name. With Service Bus Relay, it's different. It's with a public DNS address, and you can have multiple things wherever they are, multiple data centers in Azure or not, they can just register on the DNS. So it's a total different approach on the addressing side. Security too, hybrid connections and virtual networking, they don't secure the actual resources on a specific level. You have to use authentication to access the SQL Server, so you have to think about that for yourself. Service Bus Relay is using more other things like SAS, shared secret, and things like that. Application connectivity is on TCP level, while Service Bus Relay, you have to talk SOAP or REST, you know, it's the WCF stack there. So you cannot just talk to SQL for Service Bus Relay, so that's an important one to get. Load balancing. That's a, you know, you can very easily load balance by adding multiple agents. And you can have load balancing for Service Bus Relay, as I said. And that's the same for the high availability. So you can have multiple agents or multiple relay endpoints. The billing model is different and is more PaaS-y for hybrid connections and Service Bus Relay, where it's really per connection or per bandwidth. Where the virtual networking, it's important to get that there's a gateway and you pay on a time-based model there. And time to value or time to set things up, it's really, you know, blistering fast to do things like hybrid connections or Service Bus Relay. You only need to have the outbound ports available. If you have that, I mean, it's very easy to set and to make your things publicly available. So if I would make a comparison from virtual networking to Service Bus Relay with hybrid connections in the middle, I would say virtual networking is more IaaS, where, you know, Service Bus Relay is the PaaS-iest thing. And I would define hybrid connections in the PaaS mode, but with a lot of IaaS comparisons. There's much more things I can talk about, but time is limited. I'll have to wrap up. What I want you to remember for this session is really that hybrid connections, it's all about building hybrid applications in a fast way. Lift and shift applications or lift and shift web workloads, it's very easy. You can just keep your data on-prem, you can keep your web services on-prem, and you can just move the front ends to the cloud without changing your internal applications. The Azure websites, mobile services, it's really a few clicks. So it's very easy to start, it's cheap. For most scenarios, it's free. I mean, you have the 5 gigabytes per month. Or you pay $1 per extra gigabyte, which is not too expensive in most of the scenarios. So with that, I'm happy to follow up on any question you have through Twitter or whatever. I want to thank you for the attention. I hope a lot of people are watching, maybe family at home. And stay tuned for the next sessions. I'm happy to see machine learning coming up because that's a real nice one, one that I'm very interested in. Rick is after that for Service Bus and IoT. So thank you for that. As we all mentioned, you have the free 1 month trial with $200. So really, I would encourage you to start with Azure. It has a limited, unlimited set of capabilities. Please take your advantages and go ahead with the, you know, the benefits. Thank you.